15 minutes later, Dunsmore joined General Paul in the second floor office, and the two chiefs, accompanied by two military aides, made their way down in the elevator to the subterranean Pentagon garage. The Army driver drove swiftly out into the sweltering humidity of a Washington summer afternoon. At the White House, two Secret Service agents escorted the military chief straight into the West Wing, directly to the southwest corner to the Oval Office. The senior agent tapped just once and opened the door. The president stood up, nodded to the agents to wait outside, shook hands gravely with his visitors, both of whom he knew well, and asked them to sit down in the two sturdy wooden armchairs set before his desk.
"Mr. President," General Paul said, "it is my very sad duty to inform you that we have lost a U.S. Navy aircraft carrier in some kind of a nuclear accident in the Arabian Sea about 3 hours ago. There were 6,000 men on board, and you may assume there are no survivors."
The president hesitated, grappling with the immensity of the words.
"I may assume there is absolutely no possibility of a mistake, General."
"You may, sir."
"God almighty! 6,000 dead! 6,000 American servicemen dead! How could such a thing possibly happen?"
The admiral ran swiftly through the facts. The position of the Thomas Jefferson in the battle group, the sudden underwater eruption, the huge waves, the nuclear fallout, the lack of sonar confirmation of a big ship breaking up, the sudden inexplicable disappearance of the carrier, the devastating, irrevocable conclusion that the USS Thomas Jefferson had been vaporized in some kind of a nuclear holocaust. The big Oklahoman behind the president.